You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
I think it's a self-inflicted pain for the IEC, because to start with, they are dealing with a candidature of one person. And I don't understand why they should be focusing so much energy on that when the Electoral Court has already made the decision on that matter. Their focus should rather be on preparations for the elections. They can't be, going to the Constitutional Court before they even get the judgment, as I've indicated. But what is even more strange for me is that they are going to the Constitutional Court to get clarity on Section 47, subsection 1E. Why subsection 1E? Why are they not focusing on the powers as encapsulated within Section 47 as a whole? There is A, B, C, D, and E. You can't be going on an urgent basis and focusing on only that section that deals with a criminal record, when there are so many exclusions in Section 47. If they were really worried about Section 47, they were not going to be singling out one aspect of Section 47, because all those exclusions carry the same weight. There is no hierarchy of value in terms of the sections that are reflected within Section 47. So a person of unsound mind, a person who is insolvent, a person who is in the employ of state and getting remuneration from the city, all those are the exclusions that are covered in Section 47. But to even make it easier for the commission to understand that this is not their power, amongst those exclusions, it also indicates that the people who, for instance, are excluded from these exclusions, if I may put it that way, it is the president and members of the cabinet. And the reason why they're excluded is not because they are clean. It is because the president and members of the cabinet hold office until a new president is elected. In other words, you cannot use that provision for them because they hold office until when a new president is elected. In other words, all members would have been sworn in at the time when now the president and cabinet members vacate office.
So
for the members of the assembly, what kicks in is actually section 149, section 2 of the Constitution. Because there it says the assembly dissolves a day before the elections.
So
there's a difference. There's a difference between how you treat the cabinet members and the president, mm-hmm. because their term of office ends after they've been sworn in and the president is elected.
So in your view then, pardon me uh-huh. for coming in there. In your view then, what would have been the correct mm-hmm. way for this appeal to then have been lodged? Is it still, because I'm listening to what you're saying, so is it then the IEC that needed to do this, or should it have been the person who objected who then should have taken this matter to the Constitutional Court for clarity?
Yeah, my view firstly is IEC should not have even started this issue at all. It does not belong to them. But even in the event that they were responsible for this particular section, remember, the chief electoral officer can object in terms of Section 30 of the Electoral Act to the candidacy of any person. Why didn't the chief electoral officer, because if, assuming that the IEC believes that indeed these are their responsibilities, it means they would have done due diligence on each and every person that is there amongst those 15,000 people or odd people who are candidates in these elections. And then after that, they would be having confirmatory information that would actually indicate that indeed the person who's objecting, maybe the chief electoral officer would also be, would have objected based on the information that they would have done. But they did not do any of that. They never checked the eligibility of all those 15,000 people in terms of the Constitution, in terms of Section 47 that they're trying to invoke. They waited for people to object. Now, once people object, it is not their issue. It is the issue of the person who is objecting. If it is their issue, the chief electoral officer who has the power to object would have objected, because Section 30 gives him the power to do so. And then therefore that chief electoral officer would have the power to even go to the Constitutional Court and go and appeal if there was an issue that they were disaffected with.
All right. Let me thank you so much for your time. Lots of questions then, I suppose, on this particular developing story. From the IEC side, they say they're seeking, certainty. But then you just heard what Mr. Tseretselane has had to say about it. And there's quite a lot going on when it comes to this particular story.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.